our recording. Superb. I want to welcome all the newcomers to the meeting and those in their early days. You know, the importance of getting to meetings and getting identification and trying to understand the condition we've got and how we can treat it. And I say that I'm recovering in many meetings that I go to. My sobriety days are 22nd of May 2000. And I'm sober because I keep doing the work. I followed the path laid out by the first early members of AA. And I keep repeating the same process. And what it's done over the time that I've been sober is it's given me a different way of life, a different outlook on life. And we've been doing this for about 3 or 4 weeks. This is the 4th week now. We started through steps 1 to 3. On steps 1 to 3, about the information of what I got, the condition that I suffer with. And I suffer with this mind that's going to justify the next drink, and an allergy that's going to condemn me to a drink. So whenever I take one drink, I get thirstier. And I never knew that until I come to AA. So I can't solve the problem because many times I tried to stop on my own power and I couldn't stop drinking for love nor money. As many times as I tried, I even locked myself up and I couldn't stop drinking. So I came to AA and very short story. And then I got to step 2, and step 2 really is a willingness to believe that there's a power that I see in other people that solve their problem could solve my problem. And it's only a willingness to believe, a willingness to try, that we have a solution that can solve of the early members that haven't found a solution yet, that are still suffering untreated alcoholism, still biting their nails and sitting on their hands and toughing it out. And step 2 is just a willingness to believe we have a solution to recover you, to help you find the power that you lack. And then we get to step 3, and step 3 was quite a vital step. Step 3 was we had to make a decision. Do we want it or not? Are we willing to go to any lengths? Can I see how I run the show and I am going to control things and I'm going to blame the world because it's never my fault? And invariably, I always get drunk because I blame other people. So all the time that I'm running the show and I haven't got the power, I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink and I cannot stay stopped. I'm going to start the meeting with the step 3 prayer, because when we get to step 4, the importance of when we do step 4 is we need to attune ourselves into the power that we're going to seek, or the power that's in our lives. And what I say to many people is there's 78 people on the Zoom call tonight, and we was always going to be it. You could go back 20 or 30 years, we was always going to be on this meeting tonight at this time, listening to the, I was going to say crap, listening to the stuff that I talk about, or listening to the stuff that I've been taught. My sponsor was Frank here, Bolter Frank. He's took me through the journey, and you know, and I've been with him for quite a long time now. So when we get to step four, it talks in the book, it's the first step of a personal house cleaning. And what that means is I need to find what's blocking me from God, what's blocking me from the power that I lack, because on my own power, I can't stay sober. Now, step 4, before I go into the step 3 prayer, step 4 is that pesky step that no one wants to do. Nobody wants to go through their past and look at where they're to blame and look at other people. We don't want to do that. When I come to AA, and the last thing I wanted to do was look at my past, look where I was wrong, look, make amends. I didn't want to do that. But it become life or death. Because if I don't find the power, I'm going to condemn myself to drink. My mind will justify that next drink. And I will keep repeating the same process. And in the book, it tells us quite clear, unless we can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope for our recovery. And what Buck read out on page 58 was, rarely have we seen a person fail that's thoroughly followed our path. The path is laid out in a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a program of action that's really simple. It's really easy. And if we're not fearless and thorough, if we're not ready to go to any lengths or willing to do the work, you will drink. And in my 23 years, I've seen many people come and go. They come to AA, they think they've got it, they get step 3, they think they found the power, they come and do a bit of service in AA. They get 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 10 years, but they don't solve the problem. They don't go through that personal house cleaning. They don't unblock the stuff inside of me that was blocking me from God or from whatever power that is. So I'm going to start with a step 3 prayer, because with the step 3 prayer, what it does is it attunes me back to where I need to be. So if you're going to do a step 4, step 3 is where you start, step 3 prayer. And the step 3 prayer says, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to me of thy love, thy power, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. And I say amen. And let me tell you, before I found God in my life, I believed in a power greater than myself because I was willing to go to any lengths. I wasn't, let me tell you, I wasn't a God person. I was God. When I run my show in London and the things that I got up to, I was God. I controlled things. But finally, it brought me to my knees and it brought me to a point that I couldn't survive and I couldn't run my life and I couldn't stop drinking and I couldn't stay sober. And I destroyed everybody that was in my path, the wife, the kids, the family, the friends, the workplaces, absolutely everything was annihilated with the way that I drank and the way that I carried myself. So I come to AA and I went through the first three steps and I started to understand I've got this condition that I can't control. I've got this condition that I'm in conflict with my mind that's going to justify the next drink for any and all reason. Doesn't matter what the reason. I can blame the world, but I'm going to drink. I'll argue with a wife and I'm going to drink. Any excuse. So when I get to step three and I made that decision and I say that step three, Fred, I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to do the work. What do I do? How do I lay out that step four? What are the guidelines? What's the purpose? Why is there a power? Why is it blocked? And all the questions I had there, I didn't know, never understood it. And the bottom of page 63, it tells me, it says, next, we launched out. Launch means to be catapulted out at a rate of knots. We launched out in a course of vigorous, which means get busy, action, not distraction. I don't put this off. When I've done my first step four, I've only ever done one step four. When I wrote my first step four out, I was advised to do years 5 to 10. And 10 to 15 and 15 to 20 and so on. And I wrote it down. I was fearless and thorough. And I wrote down everything that I was resentful at, who I was resentful at, the reason, the cause. How did it affect me? What part of me was involved? And let me tell you, this was really quite confusing. I'm not the brightest. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I'm certainly not the thickest. And I couldn't understand it. When I got it on paper, I could start to see who I was resentful at, the police, the wife, the parents, the workplace. I could see who I was resentful at. Why was I resentful at them? Because I blamed them. They pissed me off. The wife would piss me off and the boss would piss, everyone would piss me off. And I had to look at why was he doing that? What part of me was affected? And it gets really confusing, right? So the resentments, I'm just going to read some of the stuff in the book and explain it as we go. So when I wrote down my resentments, and they highlight on page 65, who I'm resentful at, the cause or the reason. What did they do to me? Or what did I do to cause them to do this to me? And once I looked at the cause of what it was, I needed to look at what part of me was affected. Now, in the 12 and 12, it talks about the basic instincts of life. The basic instincts of life are what we call the three S's. Everybody has these, normal people and us alcoholics. It's our social instinct, because we want to be part of something, be part of a friends and and be loved. We have our security instinct. We want to have a nice house and a bit of money in the bank and a nice car and a nice job. We want that. And we have our sex instinct. We want to be loved. We want to be married, be in a relationship. The three S's, social, security, and sex instincts. When these are affected, it makes me resentful. It makes me resentful. We have four columns in the inventory, in the resentment inventory list. Not 5, 6, 7, 8. I see many people write down they've got an 8-list inventory or a 7-list inventory. That's not what the book says. If we keep it really simple and we keep it really pure, it's really easy to understand. Who am I pissed off at? What is the reason? How did it affect me? And then the last column was what part of self was affected? What defect was affected? Was I selfish, self-centered? Was I dishonest or fearful? Was I afraid? When I get these on paper and I look at it from an entirely different angle, I can see where I was wrong. Because I come to AA and I was never wrong. It was always the wife. And it was always the boss. And it was always the police. It was always somebody else. Because I didn't have the courage to see why I was wrong. And what it says in the book, I'm just going to read a couple of things out. It says resentment on page 64, the last paragraph says resentment is the number one offender. This is what sends people back to drink. If I don't complete my house cleaning, which is the first step in a personal house cleaning, not a first step in the program, because step one is the first step, a first step in the action to recover, to find the power. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. I see people come and go. They've not done their step four. You know, when I first got sober, I suffered with a lot of anger. And I was at a meeting and I was sharing quite angrily. And a woman had come up to me and she said to me, "Keith, just do your step four. Just get it done as quick as you can." Because I heard people say, "Well, I've been doing it for 3 months and I've been doing it for 6 months and I've been doing it for 9 months and I'm still on it and I'm not." And I thought to myself, why am I delaying something that's going to kill me? Because it tells me in the book that it's the number one offender. I'm still pissed off with Frank and I'm pissed off with Sharon and I'm pissed off with Callie. And if I don't write this down and I deal with my resentments, they're going to get me. Because they're going to chew me up in my head. They're going to go round and round. That voice that goes in my head says, "How dare he do that? What do they think? Do they know who I am?" And all this stuff will go around in my head all the time until I got it on paper. It says, resentment is the number one offender. From it, destroys more alcoholics than anything else. It says, from it, from the resentment stems all forms of spiritual disease. This is the first time we're going to talk about the spiritual malady. The spiritual malady is not alcoholism. Let me just reassure you that, because people get a little bit confused. The spiritual malady is what alcoholics suffer with. Everybody does it. My wife has the spiritual malady. The spiritual malady is resentments, the fears, the harms, and the sex conduct. That's the spiritual malady, the spiritual disease. They call it a malady because a malady is a sickness. So when it talks about the spiritual disease, collectively, it's the spiritual malady. Resentments, fears, harms, sex conduct. And that when you look on your resentment sheet, they come up. They come up with the basic instincts of life. All forms of spiritual disease. It says, for not only have we been mentally and physically ill, which is the mind and body of alcoholism, we've been spiritually sick as well, because I'm sick in self. We spoke on step three about I'm selfish, self-centered to the core. It's always about me. I'm the root cause of my problems because I'm sick in self. I've got all the resentments going around in my head and I don't know how to deal with them. I don't know how to set them out on paper. And when I come to AA and I have to have this written out and shown how to do it, once I started writing it out, it made perfect sense. And I started writing my resentments out, who I was resentful at, the cause, how did it affect me, what did I do to set the ball rolling, what part of self was involved. When I set it down and I wrote it, I could see where I was wrong. I looked at it from an entirely different angle. Why? Because I was sober. I was looking through sober eyes and could see where I was at fault. Now, prior to this, I was never wrong. I was never at fault. It would have been Mira or Elio, Callie, always somebody else. Never my fault. When it's in black and white, I can't avoid the issue. It's there for me to see. When I wrote that step four, it's the collection of what Keith is about, what Keith's life has come to. So I put it on paper. I started writing this stuff out. And when I got all my resentments done, there wasn't that many, to be fair. The step four resentments, it talks in the book about the grosser handicaps, the big stuff, the current stuff. I'm pissed off with Frank and I'm pissed off with Nathan and I'm pissed off with Michelle. I'm pissed off with these people, so I'm going to put their names down. And I look at the truth in it. I see where I was at fault. I look at it from an entirely different angle, which is what we call empathy. How must they have felt? What did I put them through? If the roles were reversed, what would I have done if they had treated me the same way? Couldn't see that. Couldn't see it until I stopped drinking. Couldn't see it until I made a decision, step three, to go to any lengths, to bring God into my life, to help me solve the problem that I couldn't solve. And I put it down in paper. It says in the book, it gives me a warning. I'm going to read this little paragraph out because many people avoid the step four. That old step for, I haven't really got any resentment, so I'm not going to write them down because I've only got a couple and really that's it. Because they don't go back through their lives. They don't look at the current stuff. I'm pissed off with Keith. Why? Because he talks about the big book all day long. People are not thorough enough, not fearless and thorough from the very start. Right? So on the middle of page 66, he gives us a warning in the paragraph. And this is the warning. It says, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment, right? Deep resentment. So I need to search fearlessly and thorough. I need to sit down and look back through my life and see who am I really pissed off at. Is it that Buck fella? Did he really get to me? What did Buck do? I need to look at it thoroughly, right? Deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. I didn't get sober to stay unhappy. I didn't come to AA to stay unhappy with untreated alcoholism. It's going to condemn me to drink. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours which might have been worthwhile? All the time I'm holding on to resentment. I've got Buck going around in my head. He's got the power over me. I came here to find the power to solve the problem. I'm not going to sit here with Buck going around in my head or Nicole going around in my head because they're pissing me off. I need to let that go. I need to look at the truth in it. I have to get on paper. Look for the truth and the truth will set you free. It says, but with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and the growth of a spiritual experience. Are you willing to go to any length, Buck? Are you willing to get down on your hands and knees and say that step-free prayer? Let's go to any length to get your hands up, to get you sober. This business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found it's fatal. This is a warning in the book. The book has all these promises and all these directions, but people miss the warnings. It's telling me it's fatal. Keith, if you ain't fearless and thorough, the result is nil until you let go absolutely. You get all these resentments on paper. And then we're going to look at the truth now. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit, the power that's going to solve my problem. I wasn't powerless as a young lad. Let me tell you, I wasn't powerless because I wasn't full of resentment. I wasn't full of fear and anger and harm. I wasn't full of that sex conduct as a young man. But when I drank, I harbored them feelings. I got resentful, people flirting with the wife and people pissing me off and the boss and they're moaning about my drinking and my breath and then the police. And then they went on and on in my mind, got filled up with all this stuff that I couldn't deal with. It blocked me from God because God was always in my life, as we're going to read later on. It's always been in my life. I've just never known it, which is why we're here tonight. The insanity of alcohol returns. There's a warning. And we drink again. And with us, to drink is to die. And that's the grave reality. That is the fact of untreated alcoholism. In my experience of 23 years of watching people not doing the work, not willing to go to any length. And when they get their resentments and they set it on paper, we have a step four prayer. And a step four prayer goes like this. He said, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend, the people will resent for that. When a person is offended, we say to ourselves,
Keith, sorry.
Well, that was quick. This is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry. Resentments are done. I'm looking at it from an entirely different angle. We get onto fears. I'm going to quickly fly through the fears. The fears list is really simple. The fears comes in two columns. And the fears list is, what is the fear? And why have we got it? Because the book says, isn't self-reliance fail us? Am I fearful because I couldn't solve the problem? Because I couldn't fix it? The fears is quite simple. What is the fear and why have I got it? We have the worksheets for this if you want them, right? And then we get to the sex conduct, and the sex conduct is simple again. It's not about pokey pokey. It's not about who I did, where I did it, how many times I did it. It's not about the positions that I did it. It's about how did I affect that partner? How did I make them feel? Did I arouse jealousy, bitterness, despair, anxiety? Did I make them feel insecure when I'm cheating around on other people? And the sex conduct comes in three columns. And it says, who did we hurt? Put the names down. What was the cause? What did I do? I cheated. I slept around. I lied. I was inconsiderate. And what should I have done instead? That's your sex conduct. And with your fears and your sex conduct, God will review them because we can't solve them. Your resentments, we sit down and we write all of them on paper. We then see the truth in what our makeup, what we've become. But remember one thing I'm going to finish now. It was agreed at the very beginning that we would go to any length for a spiritual experience, any length from freedom, from the bondage of self, and any length to find the power that we lacked and recover from alcoholism. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Keith. I got so engrossed, I forgot I was chairing. Thank you. We love having you. All right. Now we will.